Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Accepting yourself just as you are. With this body, with this appearance, these behaviors, these life circumstances, one of the most reassuring lines from the Zen tradition was written by Zen Master Dogen. And it goes like this: to be in harmony with the oneness of things is to be without anxiety about imperfection. Now, I love this teaching because it assumes imperfection. It assumes that these bodies and minds will be reactive, that will grasp and get attached, and that will be angry at times and fearful, and that will even hurt the beings that we love the most out of our fear and our confusion. It assumes imperfection and says what matters is, how do we relate to that? But when we feel deficient, and when we're aware of that deficiency, there's a real sense of shame, and that shame ties us up in knots. Gives rise to the most profound sense of self-aversion. And what this means is that for awakening beings of our time, people on the spiritual path, that paying attention to shame, paying attention to self-aversion, is a necessary gateway for awakening. It's not something to get rid of. Rather, the way we pay attention to self-aversion is actually the ground of the path. To be numb caring, just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Tara Brach on Monique Rhodes' album. Can you imagine just accepting yourself as you are? Just accepting yourself as you are, with room definitely to always improve, to always be open to new experiences, to always be open to meeting new folks, to expanding your awareness. Last week I was at the PGA merchandise show and conference. There was a special section on inclusivity and diversity that I had an opportunity to share in. And it was in tribe and an atmosphere which I knew not much about, apart from the fact that I've only been golfing for 2 years. And last year I barely went on the course. And yet here my narrative brought me into the heart of the golfing industry, one. Secondly, meeting the masters and legends of golf, two. And actually just observing a tribe of individuals which I just knew nothing about, and how that expanded my awareness of not only self-acceptance, but people acceptance, accepting other folks for thinking the way that they do and for appreciating the path that they're on. And we are in an age of absolute acceptance, which base power, I believe the base power for becoming an accepting person is love. It might even be the base power for creating heaven on earth. It might just be the base power for cooperation. It might be the base power for being able to deal with somebody who speaks a different language, who has a different religion than yours, or just who looks different. And it's a continued journey, because we're learning to amplify our understanding of how do we show up in the world. Yesterday we had a designer at the ashram, and he's marketing. He's got a new line of scarves, Alexander Ellenbert. And when he approached me first about designing high-end Italian silk scarves, he was focused on the branding and the design and making it at the level of Hermès and so on. And I said, that's fine, but that's nothing new. But imagine if you were to place a value in each of these scarves, that every time a woman wears one of your scarves, she embodies that. Last night, we went out to the private screening of Bilal, the movie. Great movie, everyone. Great movie. I'm doing an article on it today. It's all about the power of your belief. It's about how you let your mind make you believe what you are. And so it's about, you know, a young man whose mother was abducted by some vicious rulers, and he was enslaved, he and his sister, and he at one point kept thinking he's just a slave, and then he met a great seer, and he says, you're only a slave of your own mind. You don't have to be, but we're all slaves in some sense or the other. The ruler was a slave to money, and you're a slave to thinking that you're a slave. But it's just a chain that you hold in your own mind. So the whole movie was about breaking your chains and elevating yourself from being trapped in this world of imprisonment of thought, which doesn't make you feel like you're in heaven. It actually makes us feel like we're living in a hell. And he became the voice of change, and actually became the one that became the voice of prayer. He opened up the messaging of the voice of prayer. Didn't know if you know that. His name was Bilal. It was a story of a very interesting man, Bilal ibn Rabah, who really opened up life because he decided, I wasn't going to allow my mind to make me believe that I'm imprisoned here. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host. Stay tuned. We're going to have a heart-to-heart with Ine Verlinden, and we're going to talk about how best can we create heaven on earth at this time, because there's obviously a great need for us to feel like it's time for us to rise up and to be the best that we can be. Here's I Rise from my Inclusion Revolution Together with Love Meditation CD, which I'm sure everyone has purchased a copy by now. It's their upbeat meditation on the move. Hope you enjoy it. Take a deep breath.
I rise above. I'm the master of my own mind. I sit here with a pure intention to gain mastery over my thoughts and therefore mastery over my words and actions. As I hear the thoughts through words of others, I ask myself, is that my truth? My original nature is one of love, peace, purity, truth, and joy. And sometimes when I hear the words that do not match my original nature, I have the choice to rise above and remember who I really am. As a master of my mind, I decide which thoughts stay and which thoughts must go. I choose to rise above. As I rise above in consciousness and interpretations of stories, narratives that no longer support my truth or present, a greater power, a greater peace, and acceptance for myself and others surrounds me in this moment. As a master of my mind, I rise above, replacing thoughts of fear, anger, greed, and divide. Thoughts of belonging, respect, love, and wisdom. As I rise above, I find clarity, a deeper meaning, and the courage to continue to move on. I rise above, and I remember who I am and why I'm here, and that is to love everyone the same. Let me sit in the state of being above.
Welcome back, everyone. That was I Rise. It is time for us to step up from stepping inwards and to amplify our way of seeing things. It's like if I see things from a very limited past perspective, it's as if every decision I make brings forth the same past that I'm trying to get out of, or perhaps a past that has within it its gift to me. The past has already given me a gift, and I already have the gift. But I keep going back to the gift, and the present is trying to offer me more gifts, but I'm so caught up on my past gifts that I cannot even be opened to accepting the new gifts that life is actually offering me. Don't you think? Well, here we have Inne Verlinden. Elaine's going to be joining us. Inne is going to be joining us now. And she is the founder of the Be the Wellbeing Company, where she gives trainings and advice in developing positive, joyful company cultures. Besides that, she coaches professionals to reach their full leadership skills. In her work, she ignites people's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual intelligence to live their highest potential. Inne started in innovation and entrepreneurship at management schools and expanded her field researching wisdom schools to find the missing piece for a truly global approach. These wonderful discoveries and insights resulted in her first book called Return of the Queens. Welcome, Inne, to the show. Glad to have you.
Hi, thank you. Good to be here.
Nice work that you're doing. It's very rewarding.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired your fascination and your interest in the realm of what I would say is almost a virtue that has become so reduced in our consciousness, the virtue of wisdom?
Yeah, for me it was when I was working in innovation in the beginning, I was doing a lot on sustainable development, and I saw that a lot of technical things and managerial things were all there, but that big shift wasn't really happening. So I went to look further, and of course you end up with the human side of things then. And then I started to research wisdom schools, like what is it that prevents us from really making that shift or looking the way we've done for a long time instead of moving forward and or moving deeper. And it's been very interesting then that very old teachings, of course, are from old times, of course, and that in some way they all share the same thing. And that is something that I really found very inspiring, that I thought, like, if we're having a global culture these days, like, if I'm from the West and I live very in a one dimension, let's say, and then I was wondering, like, these people that look to life in different ways, like, why are they looking at it like that? And then I went to discover it and research it and learn to understand also their ways of viewing the world, and that helped me to really get a larger perspective on the things that were going on and happening in life and how you can reach your potential.
You know, you've identified as a cultural creative, and you've even said that cultural creatives are the queens and the kings of today. Now, our radio show particularly feeds the cultural creatives in the world. And so for our listeners who may not be familiar, though, with the term cultural creatives, what does that mean, and why are they the queens and kings of today?
About 10 years ago, they did some research, and they came up with the term cultural creative. It was research from sociologists and psychologists. And it's really, really nice to see that the description of these people are really people that are very aware of the things that are going on and that are really dedicated also to make a change. And they understand that it also means that they themselves are supposed to make a change and really move into ways that are different, and well, different also to themselves. So it's very much about paying attention to yourself, to your relationships, to nature, to the way we organize our systems, like the economy, financial systems, these kind of things, education, and that you really understand that you can change things, and that it also allows, of course, some effort and some insight and a new view, and that these people, cultural creatives, are known for having an open-minded view, are being very caring and really looking at things in a different way to move forward together, and not just some of the groups versus other groups, but really moving forward together. That's the main thing that defines them.
I love that, because nowadays people have become so divisive, especially in America. There's a lot going on, even though I'm seeing it even more clearly, the positive upswing to the challenges that we are witnessing right now, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, ethically. So you've said that we can actually bring back the very essence of our power. What is that essence? And what was the reason for us losing it in the first place? Why would I want to let go of something that works for me?
Well, in the first place, it's been taken away, let's say, quite some time, or allowed to be taken away. And for me, it was while I was traveling around the world, I was seeing a lot of places where women were, for example, working very hard and men were not doing that much. And, I saw that pattern pretty much in a lot of places. And then I also started to see them in our systems. And what to me that meant more specifically was the difference or the imbalance between the masculine and the feminine. And nature was one to revert very strongly, of course. And then after a while, technological things and power became more important. And there's nothing wrong with masculine traits that are very decisive and strong and hard, but they need to be balanced with the softer side of things. And when you look at things like the way our systems are developed, like for example, the way women take care of their children, it's very interesting that the things that are paid for highly are jobs with very masculine traits, but not that much feminine traits. And you see a shift, of course, happening now, which is wonderful. And that's why I love being in these times, because it is the connection of the two that really makes for your power. And if you go for one side or the other, you lose the higher version of that combination. And that is unfortunate for everyone, of course. And to me, that is the most important thing, that we learn to unite these polarities inside of us. And mm-hmm. that from there, you know how to move forward, because from there you can create a higher third, let's say. And that's what that power is in essence, that you really connect the two of them.
Makes sense. Tell us a little bit about your book, Return of the Queens. How did that come about?
Well, it's been very interesting that being in Antwerp and living in Antwerp, I was taking my bike to go to work, and I always passed by a little chapel, but the doors were always closed. And one day, the doors were open. I was really curious. I went inside, and I saw that there were all these panels with women figures on it. And I was talking to the man, the conservator, and suddenly we started talking about Mary Magdalene and other female figures in Catholic history. And I had been to Vézelay from the place where Mary Magdalene has her place, where she's revered very much so. And he asked me to do a speech about that with the 500-year celebration of the chapel. And that speech became actually the first chapter of my book. So it's been very much thanks to that man, who he was much into history and art, and talking about these things and all the things I had learned already, that inspired me to write a book about that.
That's wonderful. And tell me, how's the book doing?
Well, it's going well. It's written in English, and I'm from Europe, so sometimes that's a little bit hard, because you have to apparently start in your own place first and then go abroad. So
yes.
It can use some extra help to get wider, to get the message across. But what I see a lot is that the message, well, the replies I get from people who've read the book, because it's not for everybody. It's a spiritual book, and you need to really open up to read it, of course. So that is mm-hmm. something that's very clear to me, that it's not yet for everybody.
Yes.
But the messages I get is like very extremely touching, because it's not only for women, and that was very interesting also to see that for men it was also a very liberating experience to read about that feminine part and everything that means. And that also for them, of course, it is something that they want to get back into their life, to feel strong and soft at the same time. And that has been, I've been very gracious and thankful for that. Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Now, king and queen, that works a lot in Europe, in Africa,
mm-hmm.
maybe in Asia, definitely in India, in England,
mm-hmm.
for sure, where royalty mm-hmm. is a norm, sort of understanding. In America, it's a fantasy to think about a king or
mm-hmm.
a queen or a princess. Very
okay.
rare would someone actually say, oh, yes, I really will be this, I am this.
Yeah.
Why the title? Why the title Return of the Queens and
yeah.
the conversations of a kingly kind of a dialogue?
Yeah. Well, the title just was an inspiration that came like that. And I was like, yes, that's the title. I didn't really know why at that time yet, but I saw that when I talked about it to people or in groups about the title when it wasn't published yet, there always was like a sigh, something very... Yeah, people really recognized somehow the vibration of what it was talking about. And then after the publication date, I was like, okay, where did that come from, actually, that title? Why was it such a strong thing to use that title? And then I suddenly came up with the archetype of the queen. And then I looked it up, and then I saw that a queen or a king is actually the development in depth psychology. It's a phase that we reach when we're developed maturely, and that we really know what life is about. And
mm-hmm.
we've gone through a lot of challenges. We've integrated a lot of things. We've enjoyed a lot of things. And we know with all the lessons that we've got how we move forward, how we know the direction. We know what to take care of. We know what to that we have to look for and protect also. And I really loved it, that the fact that it also have like different aspects to it, and somehow mm-hmm. I've written about all these aspects in the book too. And the return then is also in depth psychology, the third phase after initiation. It's like the hero story. Most people mm-hmm. know the hero story, like all the movies, and you start somewhere and then you fight a dragon, and when you fought the dragon, you know, you return to your kingdom and all these things. And it's a storyline that we actually also have in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the return is that, yeah, the return is when we get back to that place when we've got our gifts again. Seems a lot of, well, in our day and age, women kind of had to step back up for their rights and for their strength, right? And
right,
men, of course, too.
Right.
And it's something that I really liked. And it's not just a story about men or women. It's just about people getting back into their place of empowerment and knowing that they can really do wonderful things, and that we have a potential that we haven't really yet discovered properly, because we've only using one part of our brain, let's say, you know. And that is, for me, that return of the queens and kings is for me something that I really am looking forward to, that more and more people do get to that place where they feel that they really own life, that they know what life is about, that they honor it, and that they really move forward from a place that is very honorable, very noble, and that they do their work from that place, have their friendships and their families together like that.
I love that. Let's end the conversation on balance, because you talk a lot about femininity and masculinity,
mm-hmm.
and you're not talking about it in terms of gender, but in the sense mm-hmm. of a yin and a yang energy. What are some of the some of the societal impacts when the hierarchy is based on an imbalance?
Well, the first thing that we see, and that's pretty much everywhere, is that when you go too much on one side, and the one that is going now, the very masculine one of going and hard work and striving for things and conquering things, the main thing that, for example, that you see right now is people getting burnt out. There's so many people that really don't know how to take time to relax anymore. So their system is always on. It's always pushing. It's always moving forward. And we need time to relax too, the softer side of life, to balance it out. And that is something on a very daily basis that we see a lot, that people somehow sometimes don't even know how to relax anymore. And the thing is, like, when you're not relaxed fully, your brain works very differently. You're going to make very different decisions. You're going to make interpretations in a very different way that are different than from when you're balanced. You really look from a different perspective then. And that is one of the main things that you see, that people, they're not in their own power anymore, because it's just only one side of their power that they're using.
Yeah, I agree with you, because that's, I think, where many of us are intuitively feeling a great sense of concern. How long can we sustain this kind of delusional energy that we're functioning from, which is quite imbalanced?
Well, I do believe that a lot of people are making changes, and also on,
mm-hmm.
on governmental levels, they understand that they have to do something, because too many people, especially in Europe, you see it, a lot of people are getting sick and can't go to work anymore, and that's a high cost for society too, right? And
yes,
they start to see that. Yeah, they start to see that there's another way, that we've somehow reached the limit in one way, and it was very, well, it gave a lot of good things, of course, too. It wasn't a bad thing, but we do evolve, and then we need to go to the next step. And the next step is that we really don't only have attention for work and things, but for the human aspect, for the humans, well, human side of it as such. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's that people are getting very aware and doing much more on personal development and physical exercise and taking meditation classes or mindfulness. So you do see a big change. I think it's definitely
yes.
happening, and that the shift is going. So, yeah,
it's amazing how chaos becomes almost the norm to initiate us to really change at a much deeper level.
Yeah, sometimes
it does, right? Inné Verlinden, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Belgium. I'm hoping it's going to get warm enough for you pretty soon. But where can we find more information about you and your work? Is there a website?
Yes, you can get more info on the book and the coachings that I do with that on www.returnofthequeens.org. And for the business aspects of it, there is www.bethewellbeing.com. There you can find more info on that too.
Perfect. Ine, thank you so much for joining us and take care.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye. You're welcome.
Bye.
So that was Ine Verlinden, and again, I think she's left us with some really practical, really important tools for us to get our yin and our yang together. Really, I mean, if we keep functioning this way, how are we going to leave the generation following behind us any hope about a sustainable way of living? Do you agree? Well, let's turn to Sister Gita and find out what she's got for us in her amazing little treasure store of poetry. Sister Gita, are you with us in the studio? You've got something to offer?
Good day to all of us, and the thought I'm having is, once I realize my true nature to be that, like my Supreme Parent God, the Supreme, full of light, full of purity, full of love, peace, bliss, truth, wah, 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 then I will create a place like heaven. In heaven, there are certain occupations that don't exist because there is no sorrow there, only happiness. So there are no doctors because the body never becomes ill. How beautiful. So let me touch on purity, which is coming from Companion of God. Daddy Janki is the author. A powerful yet often misunderstood aim of spiritual study is purity. Purity of the soul means a return to its original divine qualities. The soul has become so polluted with less than divine qualities, it can hardly enjoy living. Purity is the original nature. Purifying the soul puts the higher self back in charge. Useless and negative thoughts are removed, and annoying habits finish. A pure soul cannot be touched by sorrow. Indeed, the power of purity is such, it serves to remove the sorrow of the whole world. Purity restores happiness, even bliss. All you need to do in order to reestablish your purity is want it. But you need to want it intensely to the exclusion of everything else. The one thought, I must become completely pure. This sparks a fire of love between you and the divine. This fire melts away all the pollution, and your purity becomes such a power that it frees you from all battles forever, making you a true and eternal companion of God. Back to your happiness. Happiness is the best medicine. Let's take it. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Sister. Thank you so much, Sister Gita. As usual, thank you so much, Sister Gita. As usual, you take us to another beautiful level. Everyone, remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. Don't forget to go out and see Bilal, the movie, in theaters from February 2nd onwards. And also to get a copy of Inclusion Revolution Together with Love. For more information on our conversation with Ine Verlinden, please go to www.bewellbeing.com or returnofthequeens.com. Really loved her richness of narrative. Take care, everyone. Here is, let's see, what should they play for you in the studio today, everyone? What do you think? Here's Thank You by Paul Luftenegger from Canada.
being all the love that you are.